Hello to our listeners, and welcome to the inaugural broadcast of Credit Ecosystems to Go, curbside thought leadership for the financial services industry. My name is Joanne Needleman, and I am a partner at the law firm of Clark Hill PLC, as well as a member of the firm's banking and financial services practice group. I am so excited and thrilled to launch this podcast today, and I can't think of a better guest than Tim Collins, who's the General Counsel and Chief Compliance Officer of True Accord. Tim, I also see you're an adjunct professor at University of San Diego Law School. I want to talk about that. And Tim has also had a long and very robust career in the financial services industry. Tim, welcome to my first show. I'm so happy to have you.
Joanne, congratulations. This is fantastic. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here. I love speaking with you any chance I get because I always learn so much. And so this is just another great opportunity to do that and be able to share it with the world. So thank you for doing this and having the leadership to put this out there.
Oh, that's great. Hey, so at law school, what classes do you teach?
So I usually teach a class on in-house counsel. So what it means to be in-house. And when I went through law school, there really wasn't any programs what it means to be corporate counsel or a general counsel or any of that stuff. It just sort of happened, you know, that you worked for at a firm and then maybe the firm worked for a client that needed an attorney full time. And that's how you went in house. And this whole program talks about the multiple hats you wear, risk management, employment litigation, civil litigation. It's a whole mix of stuff. And it's with a group of practitioners from various companies in San Diego area. So it's something I've done for years. And even though I've moved up Anaheim Hills, I still like to be a part of it. So
that's awesome. That's great. We think about law school. It prepared me to take the bar, and that was about it. Did not prepare. I didn't learn anything that I know now. I didn't learn in law school, but it was a good time. I will say I did love law school a lot, but not very practical, I will say. So that's awesome. So Tim, the first thing I want to talk about, and the reason that I wanted you to come on to my podcast and launch what I'm trying to do here, is that True Accord really is such a visionary company. And in my opinion, really disrupted the debt collections industry. I mean, we were all living in, you know, for lack of a better word, a square box. And there was only certain things that we could do in this industry for fear of liability, for fear of competition. There wasn't a lot of opportunity for creative thinking. And True Accord came along, and you know, talk a little bit about their philosophy and their mission, and really why they've been so successful.
Yeah, it's a great segue there from law school to this, because it's really about thinking about problems in a new way. And Ohad, our founder, had a debt collection experience, and it was over the phone. There was nothing digital about it. And he took this idea, there's got to be a better way, and ran with it. And really, but his focus, because he had that experience as a consumer, was the consumer focus from the very beginning. And it became our mission, right? We're really trying to change debt collection and have that focus now beyond consumers, in the light of how can we help consumers? How can we make this process as easy for them as possible? How can we reduce the shame that goes with being in debt? And it's taking all of those elements and doing it with a digital fashion, which includes email, and then also his experience had been in machine learning. So he was able to bring those elements, which allows scalability to this whole process. But it's an unrelenting focus on consumer, which it's something the industry hasn't necessarily seen before. It's always been a control. How can we, you know, direct the consumer the way that we want to go? And Ohad's vision and direction was let the consumer drive it and let them interact with us whenever they want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I completely agree. You know, when I talk about vision, and when you think about the pandemic, one of the big issues, one of the buzzwords you know, that we've, that was talked about in the last several months was preparedness. How, you know, companies obviously were not prepared for shutting down literally on a dime, but they had to be. And in the debt collection industry, because we were not digitized, because there wasn't real focus on technology, initially it was thought that, oh my God, many of our colleagues and clients were going to have a difficult time pivoting. That didn't happen. But what the pandemic did do was force us into thinking differently and digitizing, and the digitization, as I call, of financial services. You recently wrote a really fantastic article that warm financial services companies don't be Kodak. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think one of the things that organizations struggle with is the desire to continue to innovate and modernize, because that's really what's happening with the debt collection industry itself. It's modernizing. Mm-hmm. And there's a reluctance to change, especially if you're profitable. So if you've been profitable, maybe profits are down a little bit, maybe because of, you know, compression as it relates to additional compliance costs or creditors, your clients coming to you and saying, if you have to do this cheaper. So the industry's been very good at still finding a way to be profitable. And without a reason to change, which is the issue that Kodak had, they made the majority of their money, the majority of their profit from film. And they never wanted to give that up, even when it was clear that digital was going to be the next wave. They invented it. One of the reasons Kodak was able to stay around was just because they had the patents that everybody else had to buy. But eventually what ends up happening is you run out of runway here and there's no other place to go. Now, fast forward, you bring in a pandemic, right? This, you know, and the pain that people had to go through to move hundreds of thousands of agents to home, you know, to be able to work from home, is something that was never on anybody's radar. But what it showed us is that this industry has the ability to innovate and solve for problems immediately, in a very quick fashion, and to do it in a compliant way, a legal way, with transparency to their clients and regulators and all of that stuff. So that spirit, that entrepreneurial spirit, lives inside this industry. It's just fostering it and getting us to move in that direction of modernization, digitalization, and consumer focus.
Yeah, it's amazing to me to see, you know, the idea of email and text in our industry was something we were all talking about, especially with the potential proposed rule coming out, and even the CFPB addressed it. But everybody was kind of dancing around it. You guys were doing it, had been doing it for a couple of years. I don't know so much about text, but certainly email. Going full force with email for many, many years. And people were dancing around it. You know, how do I do it? What's the training going to look like? And then all of a sudden, all their agents were at home and speaking with consumers who, you know, having inbound communication with consumers, which was unprecedented, but at the same time, developing new relationships with consumers and setting new preferences and hearing from consumers new ways in which they want to be communicated with, which forced the digitization. I keep mispronouncing that word, but you know, that's something that I saw, and I'm wondering from your perspective whether you saw that as well.
Oh yes, I mean, for sure, because it's you know, so many things we had to think about as you took people, you know, to work from home. We were used to having a very, very controlled environment in an office space, right? There were no Siris or sitting around, or Alexas or Google Assistants sitting around listening to all those conversations. Where at home, you had that. You had to make sure that the space was correct, that you had the security in place. And it was a less controlled, but could be even more controlled environment. And one of the outcomes of that shift was really to see that there was almost, in some cases, productivity improvement, right? Where people were able to get up, start their day, and then they didn't have an hour commute or something, and then they were right there ready to work in that, you know, in an environment that, for whatever reason, fostered this increased productivity. It really changed the mindset for all of us on the ways that we can do business and there's a push now to say, is there a way that we can maintain this going forward? Clearly, whenever this COVID-19, works its way through the system, however long that takes, but there's going to be organizations and creditors, like I said, look at, we need you to have work from home agents so we don't ever have that potential gap. That's sort of your new business continuity planning of the future. So, you know, it comes back to, you know, look, here's the problem. Here's how we found a solution to be able to do it. And now what we have found is that it's very beneficial for consumers. It's very beneficial for the employees. It can be very beneficial for the employers. And so how do we continue that and do that in a regular, you know, in a way that regulators will embrace going forward?
Absolutely. You know, there was an interesting survey in American Banker of financial services executives. And clearly these are your clients. These are major banks, major financial institutions. And they did a series of surveys. This one was done about less than a month ago. So they were already into COVID. You were already having people working from home. And some of the statistics are so interesting. So 30% of financial services executives stated that it'll be, first of all, they think it'll be 4 to 6 months before they bring everybody back. So they're seeing this wasn't a short-term thing. This is a much longer term than they had expected. But on the same token, 83% of them said they're seeing a lot of success of people working from home. And 83% said part of that is because of the digital nature of online banking and ancillary systems. So the fact that they kind of had a footprint or an infrastructure, I should say, in place really helped the work from home. And to the point you just made, that there is going to be a desire both from the employee side, the employer side, and the client side to have a certain percentage of people working from home. You're going to have that digital infrastructure in place. Otherwise, it's not going to be, you know, successful, and you're going to have issues. And to that extent, a third of the executives interviewed in this survey said that moving forward, the investments, the digital investments and acceleration of digital development is going to be a top priority, including, I thought this was interesting, they will increase training for staff members to help customers access their digital channels. So clearly, you know, it's, as you say, the consumer focus is there. And part of that consumer focus is to help consumers use the channel of their choice, the communication method of their choice. And more than likely, it is not going to be the telephone as far as speaking goes. It may be the telephone to text, but it's not going to be the typical phone call.
Right. And if you think about it, Joanne, it's really, you know, having a conversation with somebody can be in an open space difficult enough, but doing a web chat can be easier. And there's a statistic that shows that some agents are handling multiple web chats, you know, at one time, so productivity goes up. When you digitize, when you modernize, and when you move to these other channels that don't necessarily involve voice, you can do things that are more secure, easier to do. Some of these are then ripe for machine learning. When you have voice, you know, there is a potential that other people won't can hear you, or you've got the barking dog, like I had earlier today, on a webinar, and so you have all these other variables that are not there when you're using these digital channels. So I see, you know, our clients and creditors moving toward this space because it gives them, you know, a little bit more of control. It gives them the ability to be more flexible with the workforce. Maybe they don't have a perfect spot for. They're having conversations with consumers, but they've got a good spot where they can respond to emails, respond to text messages, and that. So I think those numbers don't surprise me. And when you look at companies like, you know, Salesforce and Twitter and even Google's come out and said they're going to give their employees $1,000 to really set up a work from home situation and not come back to the office. So this trend is not ending. It's going to continue to accelerate. I think maybe the 4 to 6 months, that might be a little bit short. Maybe you bring some people back to the office. We're starting to see that happen now, but you know, until we know, and we don't know enough at this point, there's still going to have to be this element that's going to work from home possibly forever.
Yeah, I remember when we were shutting down in March, oh, we'll be back by May, then we'll be June. Now we're almost mid-June, you know, and now you're hearing these stories of spikes. I don't think we know where the end of this will be. We certainly know it's going to be completely different. And there will not be a return to what we saw pre-COVID. I think, you know, those environments are maybe over. I'm not sure, but I don't want to be negative. Tim, one last topic I want to go over with you. Again, I want to return to True Accord. What other areas do you think True Accord will expand in the credit ecosystem?
I think we'll continue the trend with, you know, being consumer focused. We have a sister company called True Life Solutions. They have a product that's called Engage. And Engage is a platform where consumers can come out, put their outstanding obligations, their debts into that space, and then try to communicate with creditors and agencies using that that platform. And that's very, very exciting. We see a reluctance still in this industry, the collection space, to communicate with consumers on a platform that's different from what we're used to. And emails is most of these financial services accounts were set up on email. Consumers are used to using email. That's how they want to communicate with. If you can create this platform, which OHOT and his vision have said, look, we need to be able to help create this. We can help facilitate this movement towards digital and make it easier for everyone. And that's the product that he's created. It's called Engage. Small, you know, organically growing, and but I think it's very exciting for consumers. And again, can't focus enough on meeting consumers and what their needs are. So that's one of the big things that we're working on right now. Looking to the horizon, you know, nothing I think is off the table. You know, is there other things that you can do to help consumers? And we get a lot of feedback from consumers. We ask for it in the digital strategy. It's very easy to do. We have Google ratings, they're almost close to 5, and we're always very excited about that. But we have consumers who are giving us what their needs are. So maybe there's some opportunity in the future to do some lending. Maybe there's an opportunity in the future to do other, you know, educational things or whatever that may be.
Right.
But kind of find that holistic approach to be able to help that consumer get out of debt, you know, find the right products that they need to put them back on the right path. It happens. It can happen to anybody. And so,
got to keep the ecosystem moving. So yeah. Great ideas. Well, Tim, this was such a terrific conversation, and the digitization of financial services is, you know, as we discussed, happening before our eyes. I'm really excited to see how Engage works and some new products that you guys are going to have. But before I let you go, and in keeping with our to-go theme, can you tell our audience about what has been your favorite takeout experience while you've been sheltering in place?
Well, I can tell you that we haven't done takeout in our house. Not one time. Well, we have, let me correct that. My mother-in-law went and got us coffee one time. We were celebrating my stepdaughter's birthday. Mm-hmm. And she went and got us coffee. That's the closest we've done for takeout. We have been focused mainly on cooking and cooking together as a family.
Which that's great.
Has been really, really exciting for us to do. So, but no takeout experiences yet. We were just a little bit, you know, maybe more conservative than some others. But we're dying to get back to some of our restaurants.
I'm sure you're excited to get back to eating out. I know I am.
Yes, exactly.
I really miss that. So thanks for that perspective. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. I know we'll get some interesting comments from my future guests, but we do have a charity element here at Credit Eco2Go, and in consideration for your time, we'd like to make a donation either to a local food bank or a charity in your region that is supporting restaurant workers. Is there a charity that you would like to call out, and Credit Eco will make that donation?
That's very, very kind of you, and I appreciate you doing that. The Kansas City Food Bank would welcome any support.
Did you say Kansas City?
Yes, Kansas City. That's where we have our main office is, 402 Accord Corp is in Lenexa, Kansas. So just right outside of Kansas City. So a lot of need there, and so we greatly appreciate that. So thank you so much for doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Tim, again, thank you for joining our inaugural broadcast of Credit Eco2Go. More information on this podcast and future podcasts can be found at clarkhill.com/people/Joanne-Needleman or on my LinkedIn page. Thank you so much for listening. Be well and stay safe.
This podcast is intended for general education and informational purposes only, and should not be regarded as either legal advice or a legal opinion. You should not act upon or use this publication or any of its contents for any specific situation. Recipients are cautioned to obtain legal advice from their legal counsel with respect to any decision or course of action contemplated in a specific situation. Clark Hill PLC and its attorneys provide legal advice only after establishing an attorney-client relationship through a written attorney-client engagement agreement. This recording does not establish an attorney-client relationship with any recipient. Thank you.